And we welcome you once again to the post-game podcast. Jeff Williams, Kevin Lonquist with you. After tonight's victory for Aledo by the count of 57-21 in northern Johnson County as they knock off the Burleson Elks on the road to stay perfect in district play. As the streak continues, it's now officially more than 12 years since they've lost a district game. It now goes to 87 straight district wins. Aledo 5-1 after tonight's win with Cleburne on the horizon for next week. This game started out tight, 14-14 actually, deep into the first half of this one, Kevin. Burleson came out, won the toss, boom, boom, boom. High tempo with the offense. They get in the end zone quickly. Bearcats, as they seem to do, quickly score back. But early on, I think it took the Bearcats, after they played all of these teams that are very run-based that they've faced the last couple of weeks. This was a team that Coach Buchanan talked about, very similar to what they do. But even so, and it was easier to sort of replicate what the opponent was going to do a little bit better this week, it's still an adjustment because they haven't seen a team like this in weeks.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just an adjustment period where kids, you can simulate it all you want, but until you actually get out there, you're still going to have to kind of learn trial by fire to some extent. And they just kind of caught flat-footed. This is the third opponent this year that has taken the opening kickoff down and scored.
Yeah, three in a row, right?
Well, Denton Geyer was the first.
Right.
And then, obviously, last week Midlothian did it, and then Burleson tonight. Didn't happen with Centennial. Didn't happen against our friends from Mexico, but – you know, the Bearcats, though, to your credit, as you said, they find a way to come up with the answer. So they're not they're not behind early. But it's kind of like it's almost like you need to get a touchdown to kind of get their attention. But, again, that's the difference between this defense from what we've seen from past years. They can't get people off the field, but they're finding a way to make adjustments during the game as an explosive offense can kind of take it to that next level, whereas most opponents can't.
Well, this was a game where – at 40, then they go and score 43 straight.
Right.
After that, they gave up the late touchdown on a little bit of a fluky play where a couple of Bearcats had double coverage on a receiver. They kind of three stooges them, you know, they just kind of ran into each other and they both fell back. Ball popped up in the air and the guy, Luke Peterson for Burleson, grabs it, scores from 44 yards out. But after they kind of got their feet up under them and adjusted, they really, like I said, they gave up a lot of yards in the first half. Second half, they clamped down big time. And something we talked about in the actual postgame, not the postgame, post-postgame podcast, they've got no seniors that started on that front line, and they were a big difference in the second half. They seemed to kind of get rolling a little bit. Oliver Crow, Matt Bell, Caden Anderson, Boogie Thompson, that's two sophomores, two juniors, who are getting better every day.
Yeah, and Crow was a kid who played a lot last year during the championship run because of injuries to the defense. So he had a lot of experience.
Bell did too.
As did Matt Bell, exactly. You know, Caden Anderson, you saw what he did last year as well. So all these guys don't have five games of experience or six games of experience. They actually have about 10, 11 games of experience. But it's still – it's a different style. Again, as we pointed out before, Aledo doesn't have the big stalwart defensive tackle who can dictate a lot of things like we saw with James Williams, how we were spoiled with James, or what we saw with Wes Harris, or what we saw at defensive end with Colt Ellison, even though Colt was lost for the season, you know, in the middle of the season. They just didn't have that stud on the front, and they had to kind of make sure that they – but so this is going to have to be – the collection of the parts coming together and forming a fist, if you will.
And they've got eight guys that they regularly rotate. I mentioned the four starters tonight, Logan Thurman, Jacob Stewart, Carson Berry, Chris Wright, also all contributed tonight. Chris Wright notably had several tackles in tonight's game. To the offense, our player of the game, and if you want to go over to another section of this podcast, you'll find the plays of the game, players of the game, and those interviews that we do after the game that Kevin does with the players. But tonight, JoJo Earl was just he had three from the Wildcat, three rushing touchdowns from the Wildcat. He also had a touchdown catch, return punts, return kicks. I mean, and as I described him, kind of the Swiss Army knife of this team, although he's not the only one capable of doing that. But tonight was his night. He was in the end zone four times. And he and Money Park's going to have a – I don't know if they've got any kind of rivalry or not, but they both – every time one scores, the other one tends to. They're about the same number each. They make each other so much better. Sometimes they line up on the same side, and every time I look out there when they do and I see defenders, and they're going one-on-one coverage, I'm just like, what are you doing? You've got to slide somebody over and help because they're – one or both may be unstoppable in a game.
Yeah, they have an athleticism. Both of them have an athleticism that is hard to match up against. I mean, with your typical high school teams, unless you run up against a very extraordinary opponent. What we saw tonight with JoJo is the quintessential JoJo game because he can do so many things, both wide receiver and as a running back. As Tim Buchanan, though, mentioned on the postgame interview, another element you can hear on the podcast page is they got to make sure that they don't wear him out because they've got to keep his touches really more as a receiver. And because of the fact they don't have Jace McClellan in the backfield, they don't have Matt Tague, who could take up a lot of carries, that this is going to be kind of like the defensive front, Jeff, where they're going to have to – collection of the parts all coming together, and you'll take a few.
I'm not sure if it's because this was the last game that other teams or other outsiders will be really paying attention, because the Bearcats are going to close with Cleburne University, Joshua Seguin, which are the four that's the bottom half of the district, just being realistic. But they threw out a lot of stuff tonight for other coaches to think, you know, I'm thinking playoffs at this point. Yeah. And that's film they may see down. But we saw a lot of stuff tonight. They threw a lot of stuff on film that is going to provide nightmares for teams down the road. You saw them go to the Wildcat a bunch. You saw DeMarco Roberts running the football. I'm talking about JoJo Earl on that. They had a trick play on an extra point that worked for 2 points. They did some jets. They did a couple of jet sweeps, but there was they just threw out a lot of different looks on film tonight that teams down the road are going. How do you stop all? Because JoJo can come from any direction. DeMarco can come from any direction. Money can come from any direction.
And, really. And consider this too: those teams are going to have to defend Aledo in the postseason with a healthy
Jace
yeah. Jace McClellan returning. So it's not only that. So, I mean, that's all things that we're not as explosive as this Aledo offense is, Jeff, and they've scored 57 points. I mean, they've been dynamic throughout the whole course of the season, minus the Midlothian game, because they had to do a little crap.
Well, 9:02 of possession.
Yeah, never really
touched
the ball.
9 minutes.
But having said all that, we have not seen this offense really since the Centennial game, where this offense has been able to click because they're not all together. And it's almost like the Christmas season. You're waiting for Christmas to come, and that's kind of like in the form of McClellan rejoining the lineup here. And the good news is that, you know, if you talk to certain people about it, if this was like college or in the pros, he would be out there. But because of the fact that where Aledo is at and where they're at in their schedule, they can kind of afford to kind of rest him and you know, keep the wear off the tires, if you will, and have them as fresh as possible. You know, the funny thing is that Tim Buchanan, if you missed the pregame interview that you had with him before this game against Burleson, is if they bring him back, let's just say that they bring Jace back for Waco University in 2 weeks, you could probably see him get maybe 5 carries there, and then when they get to Joshua, that might be 7 to 8 carries there, and then when they get to the finale against Seguin, that's probably 10 to 11 carries there. You know, that's
maybe the same thing in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. Or he plays a half or a quarter.
Yeah, so. Something like that, where you just continue to build them up. And imagine if they're fortunate to make another deep run, which we kind of expect around here, which is shameful that we even say that, but it's just kind of what we've seen.
It's what they do.
It's what they do. It's one of those things where you're going to have Jace so fresh that it's like he could put a team on his back if your passing game were to stall out, if they ran into some really – you know, tough weather conditions.
So if you're the opponent in the playoffs and you've got a healthy Jace McClellan that you're going to try to defend, who's your number one concern going into that game?
If it's me, I'd still say Jace.
Right, okay. That's my point.
Yeah. So you've got to – and that's where Aledo really needs him. That's where Aledo really needs – I mean, they're fine right now with their running game, that they can get by with it. But they know that if they're going to make a big push and try and get to the Saturday before Christmas – they got to have him.
But here's my point. All right, you're worried about Jace. and you're in with Jason there, then you're worried. You've got to worry about conventional money. You've got to worry about conventional JoJo. But now they put all this on film, and you've got JoJo from the, you know, the Wildcat, JoJo, you know, from every other direction. You've got to worry about trick plays that they might run if necessary. That's just a lot for a team trying to defend this group to have to worry about. It's almost too much for most teams.
And you're also going to see an offensive line that was put together.
They're going to be so much better.
And they're going to be so much better.
They already are so much better. Exactly. But, yeah, with Jason there is your primary concern, and then now everything that was thrown out there tonight, you don't sleep that night.
And we haven't even mentioned Jake Bishop either and how much better he's better.
75% completion rate to this point with one pick, which was a ball that was tipped last week and popped up 10 yards in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's got he added two more touchdown passes tonight, so 18-1,
mm-hmm.
You know, touchdown interception ratio.
For sure.
And he's only thrown, 125 passes in five games. So, anyway, great win tonight for Alito. A little bit of a slow start, but they did – it will be more conventional going the rest of the way in terms of the opponents and what they're going to see, but they will be back in action against Cleburne. We invite you to look around. You'll find some other stuff on the podcast. Join it again tonight, Kevin. That will wrap it up here for the post-game podcast. Our engineer has been Hayden Posey. For Kevin Lundquist, I'm Jeff Williams. We'll talk to you next week right here on the post-game podcast on KTFW 92.1 Hank FM.